welcome to Flights of Fantasy, your podcast book club. I'm Kim, and I'm joined with only one of my Babetsies tonight, Christina. Poor Anna has a stomach bug and will not be able to make it tonight.
Bless her little heart.
Christina had it, a couple weeks or a month ago?
And it was rough. Rough times in the Kramer household.
The bridesmaid scene, and it was...
a lot of vomiting, a lot of things. So poor Anna.
Anna, we miss you.
We do. So we love you.
Friends, listeners, we have a little disclaimer for you tonight. It's no secret that Anna does our outline, and it's very meticulous and very detailed and very well put together. I will sometimes just throw quotes on there or do big picture stuff, but it's really because of her that we sound put together and we have a plan. Okay. It's not going to be like that tonight because it's my fault. I was supposed to make an outline. I in fact said I would make an outline. I got wrapped up in my sports romances. I don't know who I am.
I read sports in the past week. Proud of you.
Oh my God. Sporty Spice.
I am Sporty Spice. Okay.
That is the only name
you can refer to me.
Sporty Spice.
Sporty Spice.
I mean, I am obsessed. I'm so excited. Well, I'm so excited. It's not even like I want to bring you to the dark side. You're here. You're on it.
I'm in it.
The side. We're in it.
But I do. It's thrilling. I mean, you were right. You know what? That's all I have to say is Christina was right. Okay. Everything she's ever said about sports romances.
Wow.
They're everything. They're so good.
Everything. And they're not about the sport. No. It doesn't matter. It's not about sports.
Minimal sports.
So minimal.
It's the barest hint. A little dash of sports, if you will. He plays a game. And they're like, that's good for 100 pages. And I'm like, absolutely. Absolutely it is. He skips a practice. And I'm like, fine.
Gotta go to practice. And she's like, oh, he's at practice. Yeah, and then he's just there. Yeah. And it's great.
Yeah, he's there. And then he comes back in his three-piece suit with his little rolly suitcase. And he's like, I've been in an away game. And she's like, I missed you. And he's like, I miss you too.
I miss you too.
And it's great.
And it's so good.
Get ready for a lot of this, you guys, tonight. Because
this is a good example of the tangents that will be happening this evening. I'm very sorry about them ahead of time. But really, just stay with us. We are with
stay
you
with us.
Here. We're together as a unit. We will have a lot of fun.
Yes, we'll have a lot of fun. It's not going to be very organized. and we don't have an outline. So what that means is we're just going to talk about we're gonna wing it. So I'm very sorry. This is very unlike us. It's totally my fault, but it could be fun to see what happens.
I was gonna say, I'm excited. I'm excited.
Okay.
Excited. Okay. What are we talking about?
So we are talking about Six Scorched Roses by our beloved now, Carissa Broadbent, who I think we can say she's one of my favorite authors now.
I mean, and especially after this really brings home the fact that Serpent was not a one-off. Serpent, because we haven't read anything else by her. Serpent is now beloved, so we just could not stop talking about her writing. So now reading something else by her, granted it's still in the same world, but something else by her really just hammers in the Carissa, she's always beautiful writing. She's so good. Yeah.
She's so good. And I think we were all a little bit worried that Serpent was going to be a one-hit wonder because you just never know, right? You never know. She's not, you guys. She's not.
Even from the
everyone who's listening to this and is like, oh, page one. I was like, okay, yeah, we're good. It's going to be great.
Woman and her prologues. Usually I'm a prologue schmologue, And she is, and she just gets you.
Schmologue.
She fucks me. No prologue schmologue here.
First line of the book.
It's so good.
The first time I met death, it was in my first breaths, or rather the first breaths I didn't take. What? Okay.
It just hooks you in. It hooks you.
She's so good, you guys. Okay, so this book is a Crowns of Nyaxia novella, which Carissa says can be read either before you read Serpent or after Serpent. Go ahead and give a spoiler warning. I don't know if we're going to be talking about Serpent tonight because I don't even know what we're going to be talking about. So, spoiler.
I think we should go ahead and do a spoiler for Serpent, if nothing else, because of that scene that I went back and read in Serpent where we found maybe a tie-in possibly. Okay.
Spoiler for Serpent.
And by Serpent, we mean Serpent and the Wings of Night.
Krista, we love you, but your titles are too long.
Serpent and the Wings of Night.
Yeah.
And the Wings of Night. Okay. straight up nine. Okay.
So we call it Serpent in around here, around these parts.
Yeah.
Because it's just,
it's a too long title, you know?
It's fine,
and it doesn't work like Akatar. It's like,
yeah.
Sir,
what?
Sir-twan. Yeah.
Sir-twan.
Okay, that's it now. It's
that's it.
Okay.
Well, we did it. Never mind.
Oh, God. All right.
Oh, guys. So, okay.
Spoiler alert for Sir-twan.
Oh, God. Okay.
I'm going to
bring it back together, and I'm going to read the synopsis on Goodreads. Okay.
Good job. Read it.
I also have to say the cover is just stunning. I love these covers a lot.
It's great.
They're fantastic.
Okay. It's well done.
Here we go. Here is the synopsis. Okay. Six roses, six vials of blood, six visits to a vampire who could be her salvation or her damnation. Okay.
Oh.
Lilith has been dying since the day she was born. But while she long ago came to terms with her own imminent death, the deaths of everyone she loves is an entirely different matter. As her town slowly withers in the clutches of a mysterious god-cursed illness, she takes matters into her own hands. Desperate to find a cure, Lilith strikes a bargain with the only thing the gods hate even more than her village, a vampire. I say veil. Do you say veil?
Me too. Yeah, veil.
I just, well, I
said, like a, I was like a so wedding veil. With,
yeah, like a wedding veil. I was saying, I think we called her Oraya, but it's Oraya. So, you know, you just.
Yeah. Also, you were saying Mish.
So. Mish. Spoiler alert, I will still be calling her that in my head when I read. Okay. I'm not going to move on from it. I don't even, couldn't even tell you what the correct pronunciation is now.
Oh, Mish.
Okay. Veil. Okay. She offers him six roses in exchange for six vials of vampire blood, the one hope for her town's salvation. But what begins as a simple transaction gradually becomes something more. Lilith is faced with a terrifying realization. It's dangerous to wander into the clutches of a vampire, and in a place already suffering a god's wrath, more dangerous still to fall in love with one.
Oh!
Yes. You guys.
God, me.
This.
Okay.
Okay. Let me tell you something. We just did a current romance reads episode, and I read seven, almost eight, but DNF the last one, romance books, like a just a regular romance book.
Run-of-the-mill romance.
And none of them had the connection to the characters. I felt like I knew Lilith and Vale way better than I did 187 pages than like a full-length novel.
I totally agree. This is one of the first, maybe the only novella that I've read that felt like an actual book. Like it felt like it didn't feel like a short story. Like it didn't feel like the pacing was so good. Like because the pacing a lot of time in novellas is my issue. Like it's, they're trying to do too much, or it's like, okay, well they have to be in love already. Just get love.
It feels too fast.
Somehow the pacing was really well done.
Yes. It was so fantastic. I instantly was like, and I think even if you haven't read Sir-twan, you could be dropped into this world because they're just living in the human lands, right? Like they're
it's hard. Yes. No, they're not there. And they reference Obatrace, as a different place, but it's, it is so both not connected and like you could maybe kind of guess how it's connected, but it's so not specifically connected that I think you could definitely read it before Sir-twan, because I think we had to put our sleuth hats on, our Anna detective hats on to even like kind of figure out how they're connected. So like, really, I think it doesn't give anything away.
No.
But okay, wait, so let's set the scene where we are. So we're in, we're in Dara. Okay. So, and Lilith is a human.
She's a scientist.
So she's a human. She's a scientist.
You know, I love that. is my thing. I started reading this book and I almost was like, are you fucking kidding me right now? I almost texted you. Thankfully, it was fine. I really enjoyed it. But like, okay, you guys, again,
I forgot about that.
Okay, so listeners, again, with the seven romance books I read, far too many of them had to do with science. Okay. And spoiler alert, your girl, Kim, doesn't like science. Okay. It was my least favorite subject in school. I was terrible at it. Christina and I got sent to the principal's office in middle school for talking during science class.
We did.
Teacher
was a bitch though. Yeah.
She was awful. I hate her. So
that's why we hate science. It's her fault.
That's it. It's her fault. It's our terrible teacher at our really expensive private school. She just it was her fault.
Oh God. Okay.
Okay. So anyways,
she's a scientist.
In this situation, I love Lilith. I thought she was super interesting.
Yes. The science wasn't too sciencey. It was cool.
No, it wasn't too sciencey. She she kept a lot of her, like, I like how Carissa kind of would sum up her, like, work. You know, she'd be like, yes. Oh, she worked all day. And I was like, good. I don't need to know the particulars, just that she was working. Love that. Thank you.
I don't need to look at the slides. I don't need to look at the microscope.
No, we don't.
But she gave us enough where I was happy with it. Yes. Okay. Yeah. So Lilith is a human. She is a sickly human, as is everyone in her town, who are suffering from this. It's not funny, but this disease that like pretty much makes your skin flake off until you have no skin. Is that how you understood it?
It's real gross. Yeah.
It's like, I didn't really understand the level of the skin falling off until she was like, and my sister hugged me. And then all over the ground and all over me, there was just like all this skin. I was like, like everyone's snakes shedding their skin, but they're not growing it back.
Y'all, can I just say that my anxiety and need for things to be clean, I would not do well. Okay. I'm just going
to
tell you
You wouldn't be able to go anywhere.
No, I don't.
You'd be like, what's your sister's name?
Where's Kim?
Mina, I need you to stay in one location. I can't keep cleaning up your skin.
Stop moving. We're not going to hug. Okay. No, you know, we're not even going to air high five because that's movement. And that's
you just have a Roomba following her around everywhere she went. Just like,
oh my God, that's genius. That's exactly what I would do. A Roomba with a broom attached to it just to really make sure that we get extra everywhere we go.
So yeah, so everyone that in this village has this skin shedding disease. We find that out that it's a curse put on them by the like god of the village. Like the village is like assigned to a god with a V name. Yes. I can't remember it. Viatros? It's not what it is.
I was going to say like
Beatrice?
Yeah, something like that. I can't remember. It's
where's Anna when you need her?
Like that.
Okay.
Anna, this is when we could really use you.
Yeah. That's the god, whatever. From the beginning, right, that first line, we very much are thrown in thinking that she, from the time she was little, she was supposed to die. Like, it's crazy that she's still alive.
Weird.
But she also never is like, oh, why am I still alive? She just like doesn't question it. She's just like, I've been dying my whole life. But like, she's like the one that's bebopping around cities and like doing stuff while her sister is like wasting away. The guy she hooked up with behind the barn just disintegrated like into a pile of dust. It's not funny. Oh my.
Disintegrated.
Oh God. Okay. It's not funny. I'm sorry. It's really sad. Okay. It's sad.
Oh, okay. But also Lilith thinks that it's her father's fault that this disease, illness is like cursing the town because their village used to be very prosperous. They had all these fields that were growing crops. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, like one by one, the fields like started going barren. And her father was a farmer and he got really frustrated one day and he went out into the field and she came outside and he was basically like, Lilith, go inside. And so she went inside.
But before that, she saw the god guy.
The god, yeah. So she
him holding these crops and looking at him like, wow. Like,
damn you.
And that's she's like, when the shedding curse happened.
Yes. So Lilith is like, okay, so my father cursed this god and that's why this illness is.
Oh, is that what happened? Right.
She thinks
pause. So what actually happened, right, is he made a deal, right? Okay. So he actually made a deal to get, because the deal was like, my crops won't die, but actually just the roses don't die. Like it was like a selfish deal, right?
Yeah. It's like, okay. You know, gods are very tricky.
Yeah. Tricky. But it was like also at everyone's expense, right? Like it was like, I just want my crops not to die.
The whole town.
But so what did she think? But she thought that, it wasn't her dad's fault. Because all of a sudden when he made a deal, she was like, oh my God, I'm mad at my dad. Like she wasn't always mad at him, right?
No, she was mad at him because she thought that he was out there that day and he like cursed their god.
Okay. Got it.
And so as punishment for him being like, why did you do this? Like, damn you. The god is like, oh, yes. Really? Oh, you're mad now. Okay. And then he gave the whole town this skin shedding disease that now she's trying to cure because she thinks it's like her family's
responsibility.
Fault, right? What happened to her mom? Where's her mom?
I don't remember.
She died in childbirth, right?
Did Yes. Okay. Because there's a line somewhere that's really well written. Oh, it's like really something good. About how she, she died.
Oh, I think it her, here. I, okay,
let's
she
find
says,
it because I don't want to butcher it. I don't want to misspeak it. I don't want to misspell
she did.
It.
She did misspeak it. Okay, so it was when her sister was born. Her mother died. Yeah, that was actually really, really sad. I'm not going to read that, but the line I am going to read that's really sad. She says, here's the thing about the god of abundance. Abundance wears many faces. The god of plenty is also the god of decay. There can be no life without death, no feast without famine.
Oh,
so good. Okay, the god is pronounced V-I-T-A-R-U-S.
Vitaris. Let's go with it.
And their town, is called Adkova. A-D-C-O-V-A, Adkova.
What's Dara?
So that's like the I think that's like
the big
area.
Got it. Okay. And their town is Adkova.
Small little town is called Adkova. Great. So Lilith is like on this journey. She went to college or some kind of university, right? Like she's
She went to, the way I picture this in my head is she like, she lives in like a small little like town. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And she like went to school in like London at Oxford with this cute British boyfriend. And he's was in this cute town and like went to the big Ivy League school. Yeah. And this cute guy, Pharaoh, loved her.
He did. He was such a sweetie.
Oh, bless his heart. Okay. So the sister is shedding a lot and dying. And she is, she's looking at her and But Lilith also, something to mention that I think is really beautifully done is she has a really hard time with like social cues and with social situations.
Social cues, like knowing how to respond to somebody, knowing how to like act around people and feeling like she has to put on like a different face and a different front and she can never be herself. But she does come off like quite cold and distant. But I think a lot of that is just like her not knowing how to act in these situations. Yeah. So she kind of just like shuts down.
There's a line somewhere where she's like, I put so much energy at all times into thinking about what my face should be doing while someone speaks to me. And then is my face doing that? And then like trying to navigate all of that. So like what people are actually saying kind of gets lost. And I just thought that was that's such an interesting, something for a character to like struggle with. Somehow she really, I think, captured it really well in a way that like it is a part of her character, but it wasn't a defining, I feel so bad for her. She can't have conversation. It was just a really interesting like layer, you know?
Well, I think like, especially with characters that are like Aurea and like Aelin, like they seem very infallible. Yes, they have weaknesses to a point, but I liked that she was a little more flawed. That's not a flaw, but just she struggled with something like that, but was also still like brilliant and such a hard worker and brave.
Because this is like a relatable struggle, you know, like this is something that like current day people like us could, you know, struggle with social situations and, you know, Aurea, like I don't commonly struggle that my father's the vampire king and I'm stuck in a house of vampires and they want to eat my blood. But social situations, this is something that people,
relatable struggle. Yeah.
But people could relate to this more. And I think that was interesting to give her this. Okay. So sister shedding a lot. She's like, shit, I gotta go. Then sister sheds a lot. That's her name. So then Mina sheds a lot is like, stay. Like she keeps like asking her to stay. And really it's this like, without her saying it, she's pretty much just like, I'm dying and I want my sister here and I want to spend time with you. And Lilith every time is like, no, gotta go. Gotta go. And that was also relatable to me. Like, this is too hard, difficult. Nope. Bye.
Yes.
Like, I can't do this really, right now.
It's because she was so busy, like trying to save her sister. Her sister didn't know that. And so she just thinks like Lilith is voluntarily like not wanting to be around
her. Which like, there was a point where I was like, Lilith, she's gonna disintegrate. She's gonna die. You gotta give her, hang out with her a little bit.
She's shedding like crazy.
You're gonna regret this.
Sit with her. She's
passionate. Look how much is on the floor.
Remember one point, she's like, it literally took me 30 minutes to sweep up all of the things. I was like, no.
I mean,
you right now, no.
Like, can you see bone? Like, I don't understand.
Is there just a bone? Is there shoulder bone? Just
30 minutes of skin?
Absolutely not. No.
All right. So then she goes to, she goes to Vale first before she jets off to London. It's not really London. So she's like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to be brave Lilith. Uh-huh, and I'm going to go up to our neighborhood scary vampire upon that hill. I'm going to trick there. This gave me very Beauty and the Beast vibes.
Okay, this whole story, especially the end, gave me very Beauty and the Beast vibes. And I loved it.
Oh, and even the showing up to the castle, like, knock, knock, knock.
Knock, knock.
Hello? Is anyone here?
Yes.
And like, she like strolls through and like, it's very Beauty and the Beast to me.
Oh, it's so Beauty and the Beast. I love it.
When she's like, look at all the books. Like, it's Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah. So she shows up.
Uh-huh.
And Vale, she knocks a lot. And he just doesn't answer.
I'm not gonna.
And then she meets sexy hot Vale.
Oh.
He was our vampire man.
He's so
and
great.
He is lovely. So he's funny. Sweet. He's wonderful. I really liked his character.
Me too.
I like that he calls her Mouse. I think it's cute.
I thought that was very sweet.
Yeah.
I loved that he wasn't like overly mean. Like I just, that's a pet peeve of mine. I don't like when people are overly mean. I just don't think that's very...
Well, especially like that's a, I feel like a trope in this Beauty and the Beast kind of thing. Like scary, like vampire. Like in this scenario, he could have been like, get out of here, you silly human, you know? And like he did kind of, but like in an interesting way.
Yeah. He was definitely intrigued by her. From totally.
Exactly. And he's so intrigued by her that he actually listens and like thinks about this ridiculous deal that she's trying to take from him to get him to agree to, which is that she will, every month, she will bring him this special rose that he doesn't understand why it's special. And he's like, it's just a flower. And he's like, what's special about it? And she's like, I'm not going to tell you. And then he's like, oh, okay, well, now I have to take it. Damn it. Okay.
Yeah.
So, and then in exchange for a vial of his blood.
Right.
So, which there's some line where he's like, you want to take my blood. And she's like, yes, the irony is not lost on me. I understand. No. Yeah.
It's so good, you guys.
It's cute. So that happens. That's like the deal, right?
That's like the premise. So she comes.
She takes the blood.
And the
blood she uses to, in her little sciencey lab, her plan is to make that into like a cure, into like a cure for the snake disease. That's the plan, the plot. Okay. Yeah. So we get, she's doing it, la, la, la. And I think the first big thing that I wanted to talk about was when she goes, maybe it's the second time, and she shows up and he's having like sex with the, with the girl.
Yes.
And she walks in, she's like, oh God.
But she like doesn't move.
And she just stands there.
Oh, and then God.
The redhead girl's like, oh, you brought a snack. And he's like, no. Mm-mm. And then he's like, okay, get out. And she's like, all right, fine. But like, it's just so hilarious and awkward. And he's just
so
like, awkward. What are you doing here? Like, what? And it's just the whole time. I was like, Lilith, oh my God, turn around. Leave.
Like, but then I was like, just put your hand up.
Oh my God.
But then does she get like really uncomfortable to like take his blood or whatever? And he's like, really? So you can like walk in on me having sex?
Having sex.
Like, you can't like.
So wait, this is a funny line that happens. So he puts on a robe, I think at that point, like after the sex.
Yeah.
And she kind of laughs a little bit and he goes, what? He bit out irritated. And she says, the robe, it's very vampiric. And then his lips went thin. Yes. Well, I am a vampire. So I see now why you're at the top of your field. Like, it's so funny. He's like, yes, well.
So, well, yeah.
I'm a vampire. So great. Wow. I see why. Mm-hmm. Clearly you're at the top of your field.
Very smart.
Mm-hmm. Very smart,
oh
girl.
Oh my God. So funny.
Oh God. It's so good. Okay. That happens. So what other big things happen? So then one time she's going to get the vial of blood and it's like raining and scary, but she goes anyway because she's brave.
She's so brave.
And all of a sudden these like townsmen. Boys
mean.
Come out of nowhere and they're like trying to take her backpack with all her like her sciencey things in there.
Sad.
And she's like, you wouldn't, and in her head, it's so sad because in her head, she's like, you wouldn't even know what that is. And like, you're going to ruin it and break it. That's so sad.
Like, and like, it is everything to me. And like, she even told them, she's like, you won't get any money out of this. Like, it's nothing to me. It's like, everything to me.
Everything. And there, and then she's like, I'll like give you other stuff, like whatever. And then she's just, it's sad. So then at some point, one of them is like, give us your dress. And she's like, okay. And it's really sad. Like they're holding her down. It's all very bad.
It is very bad.
So she's undressing. And all of a sudden, the line I have highlighted is, so, okay, there's like little like rustles in the woods and there's a shadow and there's like things happening all around and the guys are looking around and they're, you know, still being mean. And she's kind of looking around.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it says the figure who until now had been a smear of a shadow turned veil.
Veil.
Period.
He's here.
Veil was here. So he comes to save her and it's all very sweet and dramatic.
Oh, I love it.
I mean, not really sweet for the townspeople, but like, fuck them anyway.
He
so
does murder them.
Kills them.
Yeah. They're dead.
Kills all them. And takes her back. And she gets hurt somehow. I don't remember how. She like bonks her head or something. She's real hurt.
The guy who had her by the neck, he stabs her with the knife.
It's bad. So, so that happens. So then he takes her back and he just does a real sweet, cute comfort doctor.
Cute.
He's like, he's so like worried about her. He's like, don't get up. Don't move.
Yes.
I want to talk to like, don't,
I'm going to go work. And he's like, sit down. So he's like,
there next to her bed. It's so cute. I have a, oh God. And then she like wants to go. She's like, I have to go. I have to go. And she keeps trying to get up and he just like lets her fall and then picks her back up and puts her back to bed. And then he has a line. He's like,
okay.
Yeah. He's like, I let you fall once only to make a point. I'd rather not do it again. You're ill. You're far too ill to travel. Please get back in bed. He's like, I only let you fall to make a point. I'm not doing it again.
I don't want to do this. I don't want to keep going. Like, it's, so, I just like really love him. I love that he's, again, like, I know I keep saying this, but vampires, you know, like a lot of the trope is just like, oh, he's such an asshole and he's so mean. And like, yes, he's gruff, but he's never mean to her. Like, he's always, no. Like, you can tell he's so intrigued by her and interested in like who she is. And like that he's lonely and he wants company because he's been alone.
For so long. What's her face? Okay. So this time is really important to them because this is really when they start, when they're all the feelings happen. She's there long enough to where she's like, you know, oh, and he's like, I'll send someone, the errand boy, to check on your sister. Like, he's like, so that's fine. Like, not a worry. So that's good. Make sure she doesn't disintegrate till you're back. So
hold it together.
Hold it together. Literally hold yourself together till we get back. But she's like, it's all really sweet. They're getting to know each other, getting to know you.
You getting to know all about you.
That's the background music right now in the montage. We're looking at books.
Yeah.
We're looking at, we're like walking through the gardens. We're at night, I guess, because he can't be in the sun. We're looking at each other. We're like, he's sitting next to her, but it's really cute.
Yeah, it's so cute.
So,
okay. So while she's there, she's basically getting really anxious about that she can't be doing work right now. And so he kind of says, I have a whole library. I have all of these books, you know, about vampire history and all these different things. Like, maybe it'll help. I don't know. And she's just like, you would do that? Like, you know, and he's like, of course. And this is, I don't even know why I highlight it, but he said, whatever you need, my blood, my books, my knowledge, anything, it is yours.
God, of course you provided that. That's incredible. I love it.
Getting, he's so,
I love that. It's so good. And this is also an important part where she like also shows him his blood. She's like, this is what it could do. And there's a lot of like truths told here where I think this is also where he gets the message from the like weird shadow faceless man. Yes. And it's like pretty much where this is like kind of our little bit of context to that to one. To God, how dare I misspeak
it. Keep up with it yourself, Christina.
God damn it, Christina. Okay. So this is our like little tie to that. So really all we get is this person brings a letter. First of all, the faceless man's very scary. And she's like, was that Nyaxia's magic? And he goes, was that what? Blinking? Oh, yeah. That's what that was.
Just casual. Yeah. Like,
oh, that's scary man. Faceless man. Yeah. Okay. So it's from Obatrace, the letter. And then she's like, why are you upset? And he says, I'm upset because they won't take no for an answer because I'm not doing this. I'm not going back to Obatrace. I'm not going to help put some nobody on the throne. I'm not going to lead another losing war. I'm not going to any of those things now. It's not a single one.
Right.
And she's like, sorry. So they're asking you to return to the House of Night. And he said, yes, it doesn't even matter. I'm telling them I'm not going. He said, because the two top generals in the House of Night are dead. And then she said, why do they need you? And then she said, you're Rishan. And the Hiyaj, so she's like piecing, she said, assembling the pieces of previous conversations and history together.
Yeah.
She said, you're Rishan. And the Hiyaj are in power now. Does that mean that there might be a change? And then she said, oh, so your people are attempting to retake the throne and they're asking you to come back and he says, and help them lose a war all in the name of some bastard king. And then she says, so you don't like this man or woman or person? And then he said, he's not king material. And then she said, you've met him. And he said, a long time ago, yes. And then she said, didn't like him? And he said, I wouldn't bow to him. No one would bow to him. So that's very interesting. Okay, let's save that till later, but like that's an interesting convo.
Very
put interesting. A pin in it. Important pin.
And we're coming back.
Pin it. That's my pin noise.
Love that. Beautiful.
Yeah. I
love
the sound. Okay. So onward.
That's important.
Here we go.
So he just basically, she says, I had apparently piqued Vale's interest because from that moment forward, he wanted to study with me all the time. We dug through his libraries and studies together and he helped me find books that might be relevant to my work, then translated them for me as I scribbled frantic notes.
Oh my God.
Time blurred together, every minute morphing to hours.
Oh, I have another cute quote here from this time period. So, okay. This is very like what we were talking about, how she sometimes like struggles with like social interactions. Yes. Okay.
Right.
So she says, and when the days passed and my exhaustion and my enthusiasm led me to loosen my typically closely held control, socially unacceptable attitudes, my raw enthusiasm leaking through as I talked excitedly to Vale about some theory or another. I turned to see him staring at me, brows drawn. His expression made me freeze, my face flushing, because I'd let down a wall I shouldn't have and wasn't sure what I might have revealed beyond it. I started, but he just said calmly, "You're a very beautiful woman." Oh my God. So sweet. Because like,
really like that's him a as perfect a
example where like she lets down this wall and she's nervous.
Yeah.
And he is like, "You're so beautiful.
You're so beautiful."
Oh, gorgeous.
Oh okay. My God. I love it.
So Christina. She does eventually leave. It's sad, but she's like, gotta go back to Mina Sheds a lot. And he's like, be careful. And she's like, okay.
Got it.
So I think she has more blood. Like, he's like, I'm going to help you take my blood. Fine. Yep. So she goes back to Mina Sheds a lot. I don't really remember what else happens here. Like, maybe there's some things important, whatever. Next important thing in my head is Pharaoh is like, alert, alert. They're coming after you.
he says it just like that, dude. Alert, alert.
So he's like, got his little sirens. And
he actually wears sirens on his sirens that are going off. They're like, and that's like bunny ears, but it's just sirens.
It's like a headband. Yeah. And he just shows up. And when she opens the door, he turns them on like, and he's like,
do you see?
Okay, so he's like, problem is happening.
Yeah.
Okay, he shows up and he's like, they know. I don't even remember how they know, but it's not really important. The scary evangelist priest people for the
acolytes.
Thank you. Jesus, I should know that. I shouldn't say Jesus in that sentence. Jesus. Okay.
Jesus.
Okay. I should know that.
They somehow find out that Lilith has been working with Vale. I think it's because the priest, like the head acolyte, has been coming to visit Mina a lot as she kind of like nears the end. And so I don't know if like he just picks up on stuff or like, they're kind of unclear, but she basically says like, I've been careless.
Maybe he might have gone through her stuff or something.
Careless. Like, cause she used to like close everything up. And I think one time she like fell asleep and left it out.
Yeah.
Anyways, they know they're going to Vale's to like kill him.
Picture Beauty and the Beast. The townspeople are going.
Literally.
They're going.
Exact
yes.
same scene.
Yes.
Like it's the exact same. I love it.
I have highlighted that she just has this line where she just like gets really scared for him. And the line is just my Vale. So they go, they run, they're running. They're on a horse or something. They get there. Pharaoh goes with her and they get there. And the priests are like, it's bad.
Oh, there's
he is like everywhere. Like, and he's like, they're holding him in the sun. There's like blisters all over him. It's really bad.
Really,
and he's like bleeding everywhere. It's awful. So what do they do? Oh no, she jumps in front of him and she's like, no. Then the priest guy's like, I don't care. And she gets his sword somehow and like dabs him, tells him something. And then Pharaoh is like, well, I guess this is what we're doing now. And so then he starts killing the acolyte. The two of them somehow kill all the acolytes. Oh no, then one of them stabs her or is gonna hurt her, and Vale just like gets a burst of energy.
Yeah.
And is like, of course he does. Don't you hurt her! I will rise and murder you to avenge, to save her. And he does.
He does.
And then he kills him. So all the acolytes are dead. And she's like, I gotta get Vale inside into the shadows.
Yeah.
And there's a whole thing, I think, where Pharaoh's like, okay, come on. And she's like, no, you should go. I'm gonna stay here. And he's like, wait, really? And she's like, yeah. And then pretty much he just does. He leaves, right?
Okay, so they immediately start freaking out because they killed an acolyte.
Right.
Like a direct link to their god.
The god.
Vitaris.
Vitaris.
So immediately Vale and Lilith, like everyone's freaking out because they're like, Lilith, we just killed a freaking acolyte. Like the god, he's gonna know. He's gonna come down and
he's gonna know.
So she's like, you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna very quickly burn all of their bodies, and maybe he won't notice if I burn them.
Maybe
faster.
It'll be quick enough.
Quick. I mean, quick and catch them, be super quick. And I'm gonna just burn them all. Okay. So
I mean, it's like, it's a lot. It's not vivid in detail, but it is. She's like, oh, and then it's casual. It's like a lot because it's casual. And she's like, so I went and I burned all their bodies.
Yeah.
And it was tough because I had to like pile them.
Yeah. It was a little hard, but like I did it. And I was like,
by the time it was sunset, like, you know, the smoke was going. I was like, wow. Yeah,
wow.
Okay. But, you know, she gets inside and she's like, I did it. And maybe he didn't notice.
Yeah.
And maybe it'll be fine.
Vale's like, get the medicine. So she goes and gets the medicine and like starts to like
heal. Oh, right. And he heals real fast because he's a vampire.
Because of course he does. Okay, but the God did notice.
Pause. I just have a quick quote. I think this is before we do this next like runny hoozle to the god. Is this after the runny hoozle to the god? Maybe she's about to leave. Is that what it is? I know what it is. Because okay. He's like, who is Pharaoh to you? And she's like, well, we dated, but I couldn't really give him anything. And she's like, what? He's like, why? And she's like, because I can never fully give myself to people because I was like dying. And so I knew that I couldn't have someone fall in love with me because I was gonna die. And then she says,
Before that, Vale also decides that he is gonna go back to Obatrick and he is going to like because she kind of they convinced him, had a conversation where he was like, I'm not gonna go back, like that's not my problem. And she was like, not your problem, like it absolutely is your problem. Like you were a general war and you're gonna just leave your people. And he's like, well, we're gonna lose. And she was like, okay, so anyways, he's like, I'm gonna go back. And she's like, oh, that's great. But like inside she's devastated, you know, because he's gonna go back. And so he gets better and basically she realizes like this is the time when like he should be leaving and I should be leaving, like we should be getting away from this place. She says, this is kind of long, I'm just gonna read it. You must be happy to be home. I thought I would be, he said, but perhaps they, like your friend, want something I can't give them. Maybe they want some part of me I've already given to someone else. So anyways, she says, and looking away didn't save me from Vale's stare because I could feel his eyes the way one can sense a wolf stalking them in the forest, except I wanted to be caught. The bed shifted. Bed shifted as he turned to face me fully. He leaned a little closer. His scent surrounded me. Why did you come here? He asked, when you realized they'd come for me. She says, because my work isn't done. A lie. It was as done as it was going to be. Look at me, Lilith. Vale rarely said my name. The sound cut me down to the bone, shivered and swirled just as it did when he wrote it over the page.
So then she says, you want more than I can give you. And then he says, I can't imagine that ever being true, he murmured, because I want only you, Lilith. Whatever of you I can have, I'll take one night, 1 hour, 1 minute, whatever you want to give me, I'll have it. Oh, Vale.
He is perfection. Okay. He is so...
Wait, and then is this when they have the sexy time?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
We get some good sexy time. It's good. It's good.
Okay. So before that, she basically is like resisting and he's like, why? And she's like, I'm dying. I've been sick my entire life. Yes. Every year. I don't know if it's the last. I've been leaving this world since I was brought into it. No one wants to believe it, but it's the truth. It always has been. I can't stay. And then in her head, she says, you're asking for more than I can give. His hands had come up to my face. He held me firmly so I couldn't look away from him. I could always see the moment things changed once they knew. The moment they started grieving me while I was still alive. The moment me standing in front of them stopped being enough. Oh my God.
The writing.
But his gaze was firm. Whatever you wish to give me, he repeated slowly, like he wanted to make sure I understood. I'll have it. And then she says, I didn't know that I had been waiting my entire life to hear those words until now. I wasn't accustomed to goodbyes. I never thought I would need to be the one to say them. It's so much easier to be the one who leaves first. I could leave now and spare myself a goodbye I wasn't ready for. But instead, I put my hands on either side of Vale's face, a mirror of how he held me. I pulled him close and I kissed him. Guys, this writing is
so incredible. Good. It's so good. Like that whole pair, everything you just read is like, it's so beautifully, it's described and actually, and the way she mirrored the face and the hand, the mirroring. Look, she mirrored the face.
I can't stop. There's so many good moments. They start hooking up. Okay. And it's great. And
yeah, it's hot.
They're hooking up and he says, you're shaking mouse.
Oh God.
And she says, I slid my fingertips beneath the waistband of his trousers. A light touch over the flesh of his abdomen, soft skin, hard muscle, trembling faintly. So are you. Vale lowered his head a little when I spoke, like he wanted to feel the words over his lips, stopping just shy of meeting them. Okay, so then it goes on. But listen to this line. It's...
Okay, yes, read it.
He was eternity while I was impermanent, a being that embraced the mysteries I spent my entire life stifled by. I mean...
How gorgeous is that?
He was eternity while I was impermanent.
God, that's gorgeous.
So beautiful.
Like, it's perfect. And it's like, it's beautifully wordy without it being like too much. Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like...
Yes.
But like, I feel like sometimes if that were done too much throughout this, I'd be like, okay, would you just pull out of thesaurus and like try to change all the words? This is too much.
Okay. You're
like,
showing just off. Just write
like how I want to talk. Like, you know, like it's too much, but this is not that. It's perfectly placed throughout it. The words are like little like presents. Like it's just like, it's they this are. Beautiful. So good.
And again, like, I think that goes back to like the pacing was so good that I never felt like, okay, get to it. Like we already have so few pages.
Exactly.
Like, get to it. I was like treasuring every single line. Like it almost,
I mean, yeah, we both read this in one sitting and stayed up to like 1:30 in the morning. Yeah, like, okay. So they hook up. It's good. It's fun. Great.
I love it. Great time.
I'm
skimming through it now. So, I'm happy about it.
you know. It holds up. It's happy. We're good. Okay. So, this is another good quote. I'm sorry. So chapter 19, I have this quote. Vale had been my experiment, my question to be answered. I thought it would be easier to let go of him if I could understand his every unknown, but he was a question that had no answer and every answer. Vale wasn't a cure for anything. He was a whole new disease, one I'd carry with me to my inevitable end.
My God.
It's so gorgeous.
Like poetry, but like something I actually give a shit to read. Like I don't give a shit about poetry. I don't understand it. I'm too dumb for it. This is our poetry. Yes.
This is it. This is poetry I want to read. But like he was a question that had no answer and every answer. Vale wasn't a cure for anything. He was a whole new disease when I'd carry with me to my inevitable end. Shut the fuck up, Carissa.
Carissa, damn it. You can fucking write a book. Okay? Oh,
girly. Okay. So that's all really good and sweet and lovely. But she does leave him because she's via. Why can we never say this name?
Bitterus. No,
Guitarist. I don't think it's Bitterus.
It's not like Meech. Meech is
Bitterus. Okay, it's not Bitterus. Vitty?
I'm going to call him Vitty.
Bitterus? I really thought you said Clitoris. When you said that first, I was like, what? What's that god?
Yeah. For that. I mean, 100%.
Yeah. I'll live in that town. Yeah, I'll be an acolyte for that god.
Oh, hell yeah, we will. Absolutely.
Oh, God. All right.
Okay, she does go back. Okay, that's right.
Vinny's mean. He's mad.
Oh, that's why she goes back, because the sky is swirling. And yeah.
Gotta check on Mina sheds a lot. So Mina then she goes back, and the sister is like, you know, all crazy. Oh, wait.
She gives her the medicine before she leaves.
Is that now? Before she leaves, yeah, sorry, back it up. Big thing happened to Snake Sis before she left to go save Vale. She took his blood and she did the damn thing.
She figured it out.
Gave her that antibody shot.
Yeah, she gave her the blood. What? She's doing great. She shows up and she is alive and she has skin
and she is thriving.
She's thriving.
She's just straight Mina now. Straight up Mina. No more Shazala. Just Mina. Your girl Mina.
Your girl Mina here means.
I bet she's friends with Meech. Mina and Meech to save the day.
Oh, okay. That's going to be a great spin-off. I can't wait. Oh, the Adventures of Mina and Meech.
Means and Meech. Okay.
Woo.
Okay. Woo. So she gets back and we find out some dirt from this god, y'all.
So she goes
to like confront the god. She's like, no, I don't. She's going to be like, take me. Like, I don't know what she's going to do. She's like, I'm brave. I will talk to the god.
I'll do it.
She goes. Uh-huh. Everyone else stand back. I will handle this. So she goes. Oh no, it's because she killed the acolyte. So she's like, I did it. Like,
It's my fault. I'll do it.
It's my fault. So she shows up and then the god is pretty much just like gives like a villain speech, not a villain speech, but tells her like what really happened.
Yeah.
And really he says that her dad did not curse him. Her dad made a deal with Vitty the god. He made a deal. Uh-huh. And this is what pretty much he says the deal was for his like soil to be fertile, like for him to be able to do whatever. In the process, everyone was gonna like, he was just sacrificing everybody.
For Lilith not to die. That was part of it too.
Oh yes. I'm so sorry. That's big. Yeah. Because she was already dying before the curse. Right.
Exactly. But because she's not dying anymore. So that was part of the
deal. And everyone else is.
Right.
Right.
That's why you don't make a deal with the god, everybody.
They are tricky, trick tricksters. So all the things he was willing to give up for some fertile soil, this is the god's behavior.
Okay.
He crooned. I told him that life requires death. He did not care. The Taurus twirled the rose between his fingertips. The vine now wove all the way down his arm. The blossom and leaves so swollen they filled his palm. Beautiful, aren't they? Shame they aren't edible. Tell me, little girl, was he disappointed by that? My eyes burned. My stupid, selfish father. I got so into that line reading, I just stuttered, spit all over the place.
So he basically tricked him and was like, I'll give you fertile soil, but just this one patch for this one.
But he didn't say what. And all it was fertile was the roses. And then he was like, was he upset about that when I just had him roses?
Reminds me of is fucking Elaine. You know who would love this shit? Fucking Elaine. She'd be like, guys, we don't have potatoes, but we have flowers and everything.
But Vale, but the roses she was bringing to Vale, that's why they're special, because they never die. They don't die. Okay. So yeah. So, but then.
So she says, I want to undo the bargain that you made with my dad. And he's like, okay, are you sure? And she's like, yes, I want to stop this illness. I want to have the land be fertile again. And she will then have to offer herself up because he was trying to save her life.
So life is death.
Now she's like, okay, I will sacrifice myself, to you, for my people, whatever. And Vale's like, oh, no, I forgot.
Yeah. Because Vale shows up. Vale's like, I'm not going to Avatrace. I'm coming back for you.
I'm coming to save you, baby. And he shows up
and she's like, sorry, I already did it. I'm going to die.
I'm dying.
And the god's like, right? He just like does it. Yeah, he does the thing.
He does,
And then he's like, bye, peace out.
Bye.
But Vale is like, hold up, everybody. I can do something about this.
I've got a solution.
Ding, 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 alert.
Farrah's like, do you want to borrow my headband?
Yes, Farrah, put my head. And alert. And Nina is like, whoa, what's going on? And he's like, I can do this. It's okay. I do really appreciate that we got consent, though. Consent. We got very specific consent. And he was like, I can save you. Do you but want I need to you stay? To
tell me. Do you want to stay? He's like, I need you to tell me.
And then she was like, and then he was like,
I do.
Pretty much like, you know what I would do to that? Make that happen. And she's like, yes, do it. And he's like, okay, cool. So he turns her into a vampire, which like, so cool. I love that.
I was so happy with that. I was like, great.
Me too.
Cool.
Thrilled with it. And like the way it was written, like she like, you know, like was like, oh, woozy. And he's like really upset. He's like, I can do it. And he's like, oh, love it. It's so sweet. And she's recovering and it's all very sweet.
Almost doesn't make it. It's been like weeks of her fighting through this.
And she wakes up in like a lovely vacation house.
Oh, a lovely home. It's a lovely home.
And he's like, well, yes, this is one of my vacation houses. My coastal home. Now that we're vampires. Yes, now that we're rich, lovely vampires. You have all this.
I can be open about my wealth. It won't bother you.
But she does live. She makes it into the vampire world.
She does.
And he gives her some blood and she drinks it. She likes it.
Yep.
Okay.
Oh, and
but
Mina,
this is a great quote.
Mina there.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Got it.
Okay.
And she's like, Mina, it's so exciting. And she runs in because she's so excited. He brought her to the coastal home too, and she's been there for weeks and just been thriving in the sun, shedding.
Yeah.
And so, and
no
then
no Roomba behind her.
She left the robot home. It did not make the trip with her. She did not need it. So then she says, like they're looking at each other, and she's like, "Oh my god, what? This is the
sweet.
Says, "Because here in this moment, with me on the right side of death and her on the right side of living, lost in a tearful embrace. Hello." Instead of goodbye, we met each other on level ground. Here, we understood each other so completely, words were useless anyway.
Oh my god.
It's so gorgeous. These sisters hugging and just being like, I understand you and you understand me. It's all okay now. And we made it. God, it's gorgeous.
That's so sweet.
It's gorgeous.
So freaking sweet.
Damn it. Okay, I have one more quote. This is at the end. Vale's like, we're going to live as vampires. And she's like, yeah, baby.
Yeah,
sign me up. I'm so thrilled to live forever with you, sexy man. And unnatural life, right? Death and Vale and I, between both, beholden to neither and everything we were ever meant to be. Read that again, everyone. Just read it to sink in. Just so it really sinks in the beauty. Yep. Okay? Unnatural life, rightful death, and Vale and I, between both, beholden to neither and everything we were ever meant to be.
I mean, bravo.
Round of applause.
I mean, that is some beautiful shit right there. That is just
really, truly a vampire being turned. Okay. That's not too revolutionary.
Right.
But this quote about it that
is.
It makes this thing that to me is not like a crazy, like special trope. It makes it feel special and unique. Like just this vision, just this like writing about it. Really, the plot of this novella was nothing like extraordinarily crazy, but her writing about it makes it feel like special and unique and like new. you know, mm-hmm. like it's so cool.
It's so well done. I have never been so impressed by a novella in my life. Like I did not have high hopes going into this. I thought it was going to be like you said, like a short little like glimpse into someone else's life. But this is like a complete story.
Agreed. Because usually novellas, and maybe it's just because I'm really thinking of A Court of Frost and Starlight, but usually novellas are really just a stepping stone. Like it's really just to get us from point A to point B. It's a little like teaser in between to like kind of connect the two things. Like it's nothing that's actually furthering anything or creating any new content like that will actually stand alone. And this actually stands alone.
Oh, it does. It absolutely does. Okay. Like, but let's talk about the tie-in. Okay. The tie-in.
Everyone put on your headbands. Alert, alert, alert.
Put your headbands on.
Click it. Everybody, sirens going. Okay. I was like,
Christina sent me this. I was dying.
Okay. So first of all, my first theory was this was a prequel and Vale was Vincent.
Yes.
And that Lilith was Aurea's mother. And that's why her blood's all weird because she's like God cursed and turned and like all this stuff. So at first I was like, this is a prequel. Vale is going to be Vincent. That is so cool. And this is the backstory. So cool. But actually, then when we kind of like talked that through, the actual dialogue, the scene where we said, put a pin in it, take that pin out,
Guys,
go back
to
it.
Pin. Take it out. We're here.
Yeah. In that scene when they're talking about the nobody king and the guy they want to put on the throne that like he doesn't think deserves it, no one would bow to him. I think that that's Rain that they're talking about because that would make sense. He was like the Rishon are taking they want me to come back and I think that timeline, because that timeline makes sense. That feels like a pointed thing. They're going back to Obatrace, like it feels like pointed to say he's a bastard king, he's a nobody, will bow to him. So I think they're talking about Rain there. Okay, and another hint to this not being a prequel. I went to my serpent, to my Satwan, and I searched in my little search bar in my Kindle. Vale. I was like, do they talk about him at all? Because I was like, he's a general. Was this like mentioned in Rain's backstory when he was talking about the people, the generals, whatever? No, it was not. But you know what it is mentioned? Remember when they go visit Mish Mish and she's like all hurt and she was allowed to be disqualified. She was like allowed to be let go of the, let out of the competition.
She's recovering. So she goes to that house somewhere.
That safe house. So they go to the safe house, right? So she is, and the random like people are there. The
what are their names?
Rishon. The Rishon people. People, like, but the people that are like his people, but we don't know who they are.
Right.
So he's So Rain's downstairs talking to them, and Aurea is like coming down the stairs, and she's like, I couldn't help myself. I told myself I wasn't eavesdropping. I was just failing to announce myself. And so she listens to the competition. And Karis is one of the people there at that safe house. His line, everybody, buckle up. His line is, Vale is on his way now, Karis was saying, even bringing his new wife, if you can imagine that. He sounded like a gossiping housewife. Wife? Rain seems surprised. From Dara? Who? And then he gets interrupted. Human, or was at least. Karis said it in a tone of voice that implied a pointed look and a long sip of tea. A long silence. I could barely see Rain, blah, blah, blah. Interesting, he said dryly. Interesting indeed, Karis chirped. Don't you think so, Keturah? The other person. And then she shouldn't be here. They like see Aurea. But pretty much, they talk about Vale. And they say, so Vale knows Rain. Vale knows Karis. And Karis is like, Vale's on his way. And he's like, interesting. And he's like, with his wife. He's like, his wife. Vale's a wife.
From Dara.
Like, yeah.
Human.
From Dara.
Was.
Or was. And then he's like, interesting. Don't you think so? Bum, bum, bum.
Also, everybody, Carissa, when she posted about this, has said that Vale and Lilith will play a big role in books 2 and beyond.
Oh, love it.
So, I don't know if that means we're going to get, because you know, okay, so if you don't know, because we have gotten some DMs about this, Crowns of Nyaxia series is going to be 6 books broken up into duology. So the first 2 books are about Aurea and Rain. The second 2 books will be the third and fourth book. Sorry, that was confusing. Will be about other characters we don't know, and then the 5th and the 6th will be about another set of characters. So, but they're all in the same world, and like she has said that the other characters will be showing up in the book, right? So I'm like, does that mean that Vale and Lilith?
I think
their own
maybe we're gonna get
books?
Like 3 and 4 is gonna be about them or something. Like, wouldn't that be awesome? Also, that would be. I think it's gonna. So. Vale's gonna come back and like try to be, he's gonna then vie for the throne. Like they're gonna try to put him on the throne instead of Rain, right? Maybe. And then because that, remember that was the letter the faceless guy sent, and like they want me to come back. Were they saying they want him to come back and just like serve with Rain? No, you're right. They just wanted him to like come help the losing war, like be like the big general again. Okay. Yeah. So but he's gonna come back and like be Rain's big general, which is interesting.
Don't you think that's weird though that Rain doesn't like, Vale doesn't like, or he like doesn't seem to want to support Rain, but he's still.
Well, I think he keeps calling him like a bastard king and like a nobody, whatever. Yeah. So in his mind, he was the general for the, right. I mean, evil bad king. And Rain was one of his turned little like servant boys. Mm. Like he wasn't like anything royal.
Right.
You know?
Right.
But he was turned by him, right? That's how he has a lineage. Yeah. Is that correct. What the deal is? So, but then Vale ran away and the other two generals died, but he just doesn't.
Okay.
Yeah. Which that's so interesting. And I also, it's the idea so of Lelith and Aurea meeting is really fun to me. I love that excited. A little bit.
I love that.
And I think they should be friends. I really hope they're friends. Yeah. I think they will be. Aurea will be like, you were human. And she's like, oh, you like thought you were human once too, but you kind of are still human, but like, let's talk about it. And they're going
to
be friends. You're
definitely not. Oh my God. They totally are. Cannot wait to see how this ties into the rest of the series. Like,
and we don't have to wait that long, which is thrilling.
No, friends. The second book comes out in like 2 weeks. Comes out in 2 weeks. We are so freaking excited. We will be reading it. Absolutely. Oh, we will.
100%. Dropping everything to read it immediately.
Absolutely. So I think that's it. I don't think we have any more thoughts. We loved it.
Loved it.
Absolutely loved it. We're so impressed by Carissa. We cannot wait. Also, we have gotten some DMs, Christina, saying we have to read her Daughter of No World series. They were like,
yes, it's so good. I've seen that. And I saw that on our TOG comments, which love. Saw that on, love. I think the comments maybe on our text thread post, the reel we did about the our text.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then we've gotten some people being like, hey, I loved Serpent episode. Like, if you guys haven't already, you really should check out her Daughter of No World series. I'm like, girl, it's on the TV.
We do need to do that. Maybe, and that could be a good summer read for us. Like, we are kind of lacking in our summer. Yeah, that might be a good thing to add to the schedule.
I love that. Yeah. So we are definitely going to do that. But I think that is it. So
agreed.
Until next time, follow us on Instagram at Flights of Fantasy Podcast and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. And until next time, cheers and happy reading.
Cheers, friends. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye. Step up.